ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This is a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Tony Bruschi, thanks for joining us. Convicted murderer Alec Murdaugh back in a South Carolina courtroom today. We're about to bring you that raw audio from the first part of the hearing. The second part will be posting later on in the day. The first part consisting of three different segments as Murdaugh is there to face state charges of financial crimes that he stole money from his law firm clients. And it should be noted the audio coming to us is from that South Carolina courtroom and provided by that very South Carolina courtroom. And it's not very good. They're about as competent at delivering audible audio as they are at keeping their clerk of courts from destroying their trials. Kind of a joke, kind of not. The audio does improve as the hearing goes on. Make note of that as we get to segment 2 and 3. It does become much more audible. But if you want to hear it in its entirety, and the audio that they have provided for us, we are giving it to you right now. This is segment 1. There will be a 2 and a 3, and likely beyond that as the day continues, hopefully with audio that is far more audible than the first segment that we're about to give you. Nonetheless, here it is. Let's go to the courtroom right now.
I think three matters are on the docket. Statement of three matters for your honor's consideration today. I believe in speaking with state grand jury clerk that the first case for status is the state versus Russell Lucius Lafitte. Again, to remind your honor, he's been indicted in 2022 GS 4701, pending in Hampton County. This is a state grand jury indictment containing 4 white collar counts. 2022 GS 4702, that's pending in Hampton County, 3 white collar counts. And then finally, 2022 GS 4703, venue in Allendale County, which contains 14 white collar counts, total of 21 charges with an alleged loss of about $1.8 million. Mr. Lafitte is here present with his counsel, Mark Moore and Todd Rutherford. And again, I think we're here to status the case and to discuss a trial date.
Not to discuss the trial date, to set a trial date.
Yes, and the state is prepared to go forward at whatever date works for all the parties. I think the defense has a different position, and so I will let them, at this point, raise whatever issues they wish to raise, unless Your Honor has any specific questions.
All right. Mr. Moore?
Morning, Your Honor. How are you?
Fine.
So things have not changed much on the federal side since the last time we spoke. Still pending with the Fourth Circuit. The Fourth Circuit has not yet decided. I thought we would have a decision by today.
It's what kind of motion?
It's a motion for an appeal bond. He is scheduled to report on September 21st, unless the Fourth Circuit grants him an appeal bond. I had a briefing scheduled in this case. In the federal case, they briefed it at the end of September. The government cross-appealed, and after the government cross-appealed, the circuit consolidated those cases. I don't have a new briefing schedule, but I'm going to get a briefing schedule in the federal case.
All right, so you're here to talk about the federal case. I'm here to talk about this case, the state case.
Well, Your Honor, I'm just telling you, because they have some relationship to each other.
What is the relationship?
The relationship, Your Honor, is that much of the evidence is the same. Okay? Much of the evidence is the same. And as Your Honor knows, and I know that these cases are scheduled separately, but my client is charged in three separate cases with Mr. Burton. Okay? They are co-defendants. No motion to sever has been filed. Okay? And so, as I understand it, the state wants to try a case involving Mr. Murdoch that does not involve my client first. My client has been convicted in federal court, and
We're going to set this case aside and proceed with Mr. Murdoch's case, and then we'll come back to this case.
So you want to set aside the
money? That's what I just said, yes.
Thank you, Judge.
Yes, sir.
Numbers into the record. They are extensive. We have 2021 GS4727 in Orangeburg County, containing a number of white collar counts. 2021 GS4728 in Bamberg County. These were indicted in the state grand jury in November of 2021. We have 2021 GS4729 in Allendale County, also indicted in November 21. 2021 GS4730 in Beaufort County, also indicted in November 2021. 2021 GS4731 in Colleton County, also indicted in November of 2021. 2021 GS4732 in Hampton County, indicted in December 2021. 2021 GS4733 in Hampton County, also indicted in December 21. 2021 GS4734 in Hampton County, also indicted in December 21. 2021 GS4735 in Beaufort County, indicted in December 21. 2021 GS4736 in Hampton County, also indicted in December 21. 2021 GS4737 in Hampton County, indicted state grand jury in December 21. 2021 GS4738 in Colleton County, that's indicted in December 2021. 2021 GS4729 was a superseding in Allendale County in January 2022. 2022 GS4701 in Hampton County in January 2022. 2022 GS4702 in Hampton County, that's January 22 was when it was indicted. 2022 GS4703 in Allendale County in January 22. 2021 GS4727 superseding in March of 22 in Orangeburg County. 2021 GS4730 superseding in Beaufort County in March of 2022. 2022 GS4701 in Hampton County in April. 2022 GS4702 in Hampton County in April. 2022 GS4703 is superseding in Allendale County in April of 2022. 2022 GS4710 in Colleton County in June of 2022. 2022 GS-4723 in Hampton County in August of 2022, 22 GS-4724 in Colleton County in August of 2022. Finally, our last two, 2022 GS-4734 in Hampton in December of 2022, and 2023 GS-4703 in Colleton County indicted in April of 23. Your Honor, the state grand jury indictments that I've just listed against Alec Murdaugh represent 101 total charges for an alleged loss of almost $8.8 million. Your Honor, the state is here, as we have discussed, and discussed, I believe, back in April, is requesting a trial date for Mr. Murdaugh. I believe that we look at some of the other co-conspirators that Corey Fleming has pled, was supposed to go to trial this week. But Mr. Murdaugh remains the state's priority, and I believe the case that is the priority would be the case involving the Satterfields, Your Honor. That by far represents the greatest single loss among all the victims. That would be 2021 GS-4730, venue here in Beaufort County. And the state is intent and requesting the court to schedule a trial date as soon as reasonably possible, sometime before the end of this year, to try Alec Murdaugh on those particular charges.
All right, Mr. Hupert, yes, sir.
Your Honor, there are a number of different objections we have to trying any of these states this year. We previously got the impression from Your Honor when we met at the last status conference that you would not be trying any of these cases, and you'd be leaving the bench on January 1.
Tell me about that impression again.
That was my impression based on your discussion. Now, maybe I misread you. I've done that from time to time during the process. If I did, I apologize. But in the meantime, Mr. Griffin and I have scheduled other matters for this fall. Both he and I have a federal trial in December. Before that, Your Honor, and I think I mentioned this the last time we talked, I have the oldest case in Lexington County, civil case, involves the death of five children killed by their father who sentenced to death for it. We sued the Department of Social Services 8 years ago, and finally on a trial docket. I've mentioned this.
It's on a trial docket for when?
Motions on the 14th of October, trial on October, and I have a email here from Judge McCadlin who's trying a trial on motions heard on October 13th, trial roster for October 30th, and it's at least a two-week or three-week trial. Mr. Griffin has an additional conflict in Texas in a federal trial, what day? October 30th that week. I guess this is September. It looks like most of October is going to be involved either getting ready for or trying that case. Wouldn't be done until early in November. Your Honor, you know, it's going to take some time to get ready for these cases. But more importantly, and maybe this is the toughest thing I have to say, and that is this. This case was finished 6 months ago. It clearly, I don't think anyone would dispute, has had more publicity than any case in the history of this state, and maybe the country. On national television every day for 6 weeks. The motions motions hearings were covered, and they're here again today. It has been podcasted, blogged, we've got podcasters out there who are gripping their 15 minutes, hanging by their fingernails, wanting more of their 15 minutes of fame and continue to talk about this. I understand one of the solutions to massive pretrial publicity is a change of venue. There are two cases I want to cite to the court, both of the United States Supreme Court cases. Murphy versus Florida and Shepherd versus Maxwell. There are two kinds of pretrial publicity that would indicate a continuance and or a change of venue required. Prejudice is presumed from pretrial publicity when pretrial publicity is sufficiently prejudicial and inflammatory, and the prejudicial pretrial publicity saturated the community where the trials are held. They found presumed pretrial publicity in a case much less renowned, much less publicized than this one. And Your Honor, to try this case in less than a year after the verdict came in the other case, don't we need to let it calm down a little bit? Where are you going to get a jury? Mars? I mean, there's nowhere in this case.
Allendale, Orangeburg, Beaufort, Colleton.
Your Honor, and I
Hampton.
Appreciate your sense of humor.
It's not a sense of humor. We have many counties where these indictments were issued. I am not presuming that a jury cannot be impaneled, just as the trial that took place in Colleton County, there was no motion to change venue. And I'm not presuming any prejudice, and the test is not based on speculation. The test is whether or not a jury can be impaneled. You first have to attempt to get a jury, according to the law.
What I'm saying is, I think it'd be an exercise of futility. I know this. We've been interviewing jurors, as you know, in the murder trial. There was a juror who on that jury who had could been excused, been on the jury panel, was in the previous year, and told other jurors, I want on this trial. And that, I'm afraid, is what happened on that jury. We got a motion for a new trial for after discovered evidence. The Attorney General is going to file their response tomorrow. We believe the Court of Appeals will order a jury before a circuit court judge to determine whether or not the clerk of court tampered with that jury. And that is very, and so we would go forward with another trial while that matter is pending, while that matter is being litigated?
Probably not in Colleton County.
Well, Your Honor, the idea that somehow something happens in Colleton County doesn't affect what happens in Beaufort County. But, I mean, this is a national case. I mean, do they not have television in Allendale County?
I don't know.
Do they not have the internet?
I don't know.
What's the hurry? That's the other point. What is the hurry? He's pleading in federal court next Thursday. Every allegation the state has made, the victims will have their day in court. We plead, Ms. Murnau indicated he pleads guilty to the state charge, but the state insists on doing them in serial so they get three convictions so they get life without parole on a guy who's already serving two life sentences without parole. This is just another attempt to get more publicity, to make this another national case. And, Your Honor, I'm offended that the Attorney General is waiting. He's got many other cases that are much older than this, but get granted, Court TV won't be there for them. This is another effort at creating a national spectacle. Now, Your Honor has some things to say about Mr. Murdaugh at a sentencing. You obviously believe he's guilty of that. You obviously, and the jury found him guilty of that. But I would ask you to put those feelings aside and give us a chance to litigate this jury tampering issue, to allow Mr. Griffin and I to have time, if there is going to be a trial on these, prepare for those trials, which we won't in our calendar for the fall. And third thing is, why doesn't the Attorney General put some distance between the conviction in the murder case and the trial, if there has to be a trial, on the financial cases? As a prosecutor, I'm bewildered by this. I'm certainly they can do it, but why? Why? What is the hurry? Thank you for the question. Thank you, Your Honor.
Your Honor, this isn't about a spectacle. These white-collar indictments have been investigated by the state grand jury, which is a partnership of the AG and SLED. And these particular, the Satterfield indictments were indicted in November of 2021, just about 2 months after the side of the road happened. This is about allegations that represent an assault on the state judiciary. And because of that, they need to be answered. Your Honor is exactly correct that the law does not presume prejudice. If he wants to file a motion where he cites law, then we can respond, but the law is very clear, is that you don't presume prejudice, you try to see the jury. And only through that process can the court then assess whether or not a jury can be seated. We are in 2023. The reality of the media environment is what it is. And unless we're going to say the judicial system just can't function because of publicity, that just leaves nothing left to happen. This is just the reality that we live in. And so we depend on the ability of the system, we depend on the ability of the jury selection process to seat jurors. And that is what should happen. And only if there is an inability to do so can this court then consider whether or not there needs to be some change of venue or some relief or something like that. That is exactly what the process should be. And this is a big county, this is Beaufort County, and fundamentally, just as we rely on lawyers, just as we rely on judges, to be objective about what they do, and that includes the defense motion here, okay? We have an objective duty. We also depend, the system depends on jurors to be objective as well. And to just say, because there's publicity, nothing can be done, just throws the system out and leaves no recourse whatsoever. And what the defense can't do is try to essentially run down the street to the federal authorities and bypass the accountability that needs to happen in state court for a direct assault through use of a state law license on this courtroom, Your Honor, on the other courtrooms or the other counties that I named. The state judiciary needs, the state judicial system needs to answer for this very, the allegations of this assault. And that's why this is important. That's why this case has priority, and that's why the state seeks to move it forward.
Briefly, Your Honor.
Yes, sir.
Well, this wasn't his argument a year ago when he called the murder case first. The murder case was indicted after the financial crimes, and it wasn't that important then. Now, all of a sudden, it's, you know, the most important thing in the world. I would suggest, Your Honor, that he made a decision to try the murder case first, not the financial crimes. And as a result, we've been put in the position, you know, of where we're at today. In addition to that, I would state for the record, I want this clear, based on our, that is, Mr. Griffin and my trial schedules in other cases between now and the end of the year, we would be ineffective in preparing for this trial, any trial.
Your Honor, that is absolutely not what happened. I even said I was happy to try the white-collar cases first. It was the defense's motion for a speedy trial, and Mr. Harpootlian's waiver of his legislative immunity was what led to the murder cases being done before. It was the defense that wanted to trial the murder case. They filed a motion for speedy trial, and the state said, okay, let's do it.
His decision to agree with that, Your Honor. It was up to him. He's calling the case today. The solicitor calls the case, the prosecutor. We don't call the case. It was his decision. He decided to go with the murder case first.
Your Honor, the state is happy to show up in court and seek justice for these very important matters whenever a date can be scheduled. And the only reason the murder went first was because of Mr. Harpootlian.
Well, the court's not going to defer to Texas in setting a trial date. And a trial date will be set prior to the end of this year. You all have a choice of either the week of November 13th, November 27th, and there's an Allendale term scheduled. Or December 11th. You all have a choice of either of those 3 weeks to try whatever case is pending in those individual venues.
Your Honor, could we confer and email you today on what our preferences are?
No, we can confer and resolve it this morning while we maybe move on to the next matters. We have other matters.
Your Honor, without waiving my previously made objections, November 27th would allow us to deal with these other trials, although not really give us time to prepare for this, because you've already heard my position on that.
Well, November 27th, let's see.
It's the Monday after Thanksgiving.
All right, let's see. And we're attempting to coordinate it with other existing terms of courts in the various places. All right.
Your Honor, where's the venue on November 27th?
I'm open to whatever venue. The predominant number of cases are pending in Hampton County.
And the state's preference would be to do the Satterfields in Buford, because that is the greatest single loss. But if there are scheduling issues, we will do Hampton. I do believe that it makes the most sense to do that one first, just because of the way this case is developed. And so the state would seek to call that one first.
Let's see. November 27th is a general sessions terms scheduled here in Buford County. Yes.
That works for the state, yes, sir. Obviously, I need to coordinate with the solicitor's office as well.
Absolutely. No, we'll take care of whatever coordination is necessary, unless there's a death penalty case scheduled that week.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right, so the case is set for trial on November 27th.
That's the Saturday, right?
Is that the matter you're seeking, the Satterfield trial?
Yes, sir. That would be, of course, relevance. 2021 GS 47, third.
Thank you for your time.
To set a deadline for any motions that might be filed.
Yes, sir, I think that's advisable. If I can look at my phone real quick, Your Honor. I would say for the, because of the week prior, obviously, is Thanksgiving. That perhaps the Friday the 10th might be the best day for motions, and then responses due the following week. Maybe by Friday the 17th. I think if we have significant pretrial issues, it might even make sense to have a hearing prior to the trial date so that those, you know, if there's resolution of those, we can hit the ground running with that trial week.
Your Honor, none of this is a big concern. I don't know why we just can't deal with it that morning. I mean, our schedules really are complicated. Can't we have the hearing that morning?
The morning of the trial?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Well, a deadline for filing the motions.
I don't have a problem with that. 10 days prior to trial and responses 5 days before trial.
Okay. I think, in effect, that's what you proposed.
Yeah, Your Honor, I apologize. The 10th is Veterans Day. We could have the motions filed on the 17th.
God knows, I don't want to have to work on Veterans Day. Oh, my God.
I
know the state government people enjoy these holidays, but we're going to have to rearrange a major personal items to deal with this. I plan to take Thanksgiving and visit my wife overseas. That ain't happening now. I've got to call her when I leave here to tell her. So perhaps we'll have to work Veterans Day. I'm sorry.
I would say these people next to me work just as hard as they do, and Your Honor saw that.
We'll be working Veterans Day, so why don't you match us?
That's a deadline. Maybe you'll have it prepared the day before. Veterans Day is on the Friday the 10th, is that it? Well, the deadline will be Thursday the 9th. How about that?
And then responses in 5 days.
And responses in 5 days will determine when and if a hearing is needed prior to the 27th. If you'll put all of that in order and circulate it to counsel for any comment, and I'll sign a written order addressing all of what we've just discussed.
We're prepared, Your
Honor. Now, anything else we need to talk about in this case?
Your Honor, I hate to rise.
I said in this case. No, you're not in this case, are you?
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, we're coming to you next.
I know, I'm just charged with him in the other cases.
You're charged with what?
My client is charged jointly with Mr. Murdaugh and three other people. They're not this case.
Well, he's indicated he's calling the State v. Murdaugh. State v. not Murdaugh. Yeah, State v. Murdaugh in the Satterfield case. Unless you want to voluntarily join in.
Your Honor, I do not. You got voluntarily join in anything.
All right, well.
Your Honor, I apologize for the warnings. Just have to say it.
All right, well, thank you all very much.
Thank you, Honor.
Thank you, you may be seated.
Back on the record, State versus Russell Lucius Lafitte. Again, he's here represented by his counsel, Mark Warren, who was here. Back here to discuss status in a trial date. And as always, Your Honor, the state is prepared and will be prepared to go forward in any date that the court sets.
Remind me about Mr. Lafitte's various indictments and venues and all that.
Yes, sir. Mr. Lafitte, we have 2022 GS4701 and 2022 GS4702. Those are both venues in Hampton County, and those deal with the victims there are Ms. Thomas and Steve Pinkney. Then in Allendale County, we have 2022 GS4703. Again, we meet in Allendale County, and that the underlying victim there is Mr. Badger. Two and a half and one in Allendale, Your Honor.
All right, Mr. Moore.
Yes, sir, Your Honor. He's charged with Mr. Murdaugh on all three of those cases.
They're co-defendants in all three of those cases. I would ask Your Honor, because as I understand it, the state wanted to go first with the Satterfield matter. That case has been set. I would ask Your Honor to set a trial date for one of these cases in the fall of next year. As I mentioned, and I know Your Honor doesn't want to hear about the federal case, but it's inextricably intertwined here. And one of the things that I have to do to represent this is that I've got a briefing schedule, and we've got to deliver a briefing for the Court of Appeals this fall. We have to do that. I don't have any choice in that matter.
To deliver briefs where?
To the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. Concerning what?
Well, so he is appealing his federal conviction. And so the Fourth Circuit set a briefing schedule, and they originally set a schedule for September the 28th. As I mentioned earlier, the United States Attorney's Office then filed a cross appeal. The Fourth Circuit consolidated those matters. They abrogated the briefing schedule, but now they will set a new briefing schedule. I expect get a briefing schedule in the next week or two, and I expect, because of how quickly the other briefing schedule is set, that we'll get a briefing schedule where that briefing will be due at the end of October, or maybe, if I'm lucky, mid-November. I've spent way more time focusing on the state. They have a case now. We have not been through that discussion. I'm going to need the opportunity to do that with Mr. Speaker. That may be very complicated. Because, again, I don't know today, perhaps we'll know by next week, whether he's going to get an appeal bond or not. If he does not get an appeal bond, he's going to be in Coleman, Florida. That's where he's been designated to serve his sentence. And I need some time and some access to him to be able to prepare for his defense in this trial. And so I would, again, Rutherford has legislative immunity, as Your Honor knows. I understand that the state may want to talk about Friday's case in spring, but I would ask Your Honor to set, and perhaps, I don't know if the state intends to drop all three of these cases or not. I don't know what the current is. I think Mr. Waters can speak to that. I'm not the president. But I would ask Your Honor to set those cases for the fall. But I would ask. I can tell Your Honor that I will have motions filed in those cases. But I'm just saying, I don't see physically how I can try this case with this client this fall, given not only that appeal, but this discovery. I would be ineffective, I believe. And I don't want to be ineffective for this man.
All right. Mr. Waters.
Your Honor, as to the discovery, first I'll point out, and I'm not unsympathetic to the fact that Mr. Moore and then much later Mr. Rutherford have now joined the defense team, but that's not the state's fault that Mr. Lafitte changed lawyers. The discovery of this matter had been out for a long time. And again, it is extensive, but as he said, much of the discovery is very similar and were generated by the state grand jury as to things that they've been reviewing in the other matter. The discovery we've provided is base labeled, a very detailed Excel sheet that goes through all of that. But ultimately, Your Honor, there is a distinction between what has been previously tried in the federal court, which again, it's not what's going on here. In that particular case, what was litigated, what was indicted by the federal government after the state grand jury had indicted the case was Mr. Lafitte's providing of the $750,000 undocumented loan to Alec Murdoch, as well as providing the $680,000 to the law firm when all of this started to come to light. And they did present some of the evidence of the underlying victims as the sort of the background to leading up to what they charged here. But what's charged in the state grand jury is the underlying offenses of these victims. The victims being Ms. Thomas, Mr. Keith Pinkney, Mr. Badger, and that's a distinct matter, and that actually goes back
you know, for almost a decade or more. So we believe, Your Honor, that, again, the state is prepared and happy to come try this case whenever Your Honor finds a date, and we're happy to do it in the fall as well. If that's not going to work and Mr. Rutherford wants to look at something in the spring, you know, I guess we could talk about that, but I think, you know, the fall is really our sweet spot for trying to get some of these things moving. What I don't want to have happen is just to defer anything until all the way to the fall of 24. Again, these cases go to the heart of the South Carolina state judicial system. It's important that these allegations be litigated in court, and just deferring everything into the fall of 24 and going through the same process again in the hopes that something can get scheduled prior to the safe zone being reached again, I just don't think is appropriate for justice in this particular case. So again, the state is here. The state, if the date gets set, the state will be prepared and ready to go try the case.
Yes, sir.
One brief point. So I don't necessarily, I didn't try the federal case. Okay, I came in after the fact. But I have reviewed that transcript, and I reviewed the indictment, and I don't necessarily agree with Mr. Waters. The federal government didn't just charge those two bank fraud counts. They charged an underlying mail and wire fraud and bank fraud conspiracy that included the conduct reflective of Mr. Lafitte and Mr. Murdaugh's dealings with the alleged victims who are in this case. So there were counts that dealt with those victims. I tell Your Honor that to tell you that because I think Your Honor should know that. And those folks testified. But the one thing that is, and I'll tell you what I have not done yet, I have not tried to cross-relate the discovery that we've gotten in this case with the discovery in the federal case. They're different. But in this case, there's the testimony of 30 separate grand jury witnesses before the state grand jury. I haven't read those transcripts, Your Honor.
You have not read those transcripts?
I have not read those transcripts as of yet.
When is the first time you appeared at a status conference in this case and requested more time?
I appeared at a status conference, I believe, back in April, Your Honor, and we've been dealing with the federal case ever since. And I understand that the federal case is different than the state case, but I was not aware until today that we might be talking about trying a case in the fall. And that's on me, okay? And if I have to get ready, I have to get ready. But I have not read all 30 of those transcripts. I have not. I have looked at a couple, but I have not read all 30 of them. I have not.
All right. Yes, sir.
Even back in April, we were saying that we were ready to try the case whenever a date could be set, and expressed then that we were looking at the fall. And I think that Mr. Rutherford had just joined the defense team the day before, and I remember the exchange very clearly. He said, "Well, I haven't even gotten the discovery yet." I was like, "Well, you just joined the case yesterday." Again, the defense has had this discovery for a long time. This is September now. This is 5 months later. Again, I understand the difficulties the defense is facing, but this case has been indicted, the discovery's been to the defense team for an extended period, and if we don't get this done before the end of the year, then we're looking at the fall of 24, and I just believe that's too long to wait for the importance of the allegations here.
What is the other co-defendants' trial scheduled, is that Roberts or?
That is December 18th.
Is it Roberts?
Yes, sir.
December 18th?
Yes, sir.
What was the length of the federal trial?
I believe it was 2.5 when you count actual days, Judge.
2.5 weeks.
2.5 weeks, Your Honor. When you count opening statements and jury deliberations, I believe it was 2.5 weeks.
All right. Mr. Rutherford?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Anything you want to add to the discussion?
Your Honor, this is, as has already been stated, a case that took 2.5 weeks to try in federal court. These are allegations that our client has already been convicted of. Judicial economy asserts that he has already been convicted. He is appealing that case. We're working on that appeal, trying to get that into the Fourth Circuit. The state has the ability to call any case they want to and keep their foot on the gas, and this is all that they get to focus on. Judges can't make them call other cases the way the judges have made me work on other cases. We tried a murder case 2 weeks ago at Spartanburg that was a 2017 case. Almost every case that I have scheduled between now and the end of the year is older than this one. And several of them that I have are also with the Attorney General's office. Whether they call them, schedule them, or not is up to them, not up to me. What I foresee them doing is trying to assert that they're ready, willing, and able to go. They'd love to do it in the spring. They just want me to waive my legislative immunity, which, Your Honor, for the record, I'd happily do if they waive their ability to call cases whenever they get ready. If they waive their ability to only work on one case solely. We don't have that ability. The case that Mr. Arpulian and Mr. Griffith spoke of earlier in federal court in December had a similarly situated co-defendant. Their client is actually on trial. Mine is not, but possibly scheduled for that same week because it's the same facts.
Not the week of November 27th.
Not the week of November 27th.
Okay.
And as they have already stated, that week is reserved for the case that they decide to call, which involves the Satterfields, not the case that is connected to our client. And so that's what they chose to do. They have not told us exactly which case they choose to proceed on. And during the break, he said, that's up to him as to which case he's going to proceed on and when. And it is, unless he's willing to waive that. Until that point, Your Honor, 41,000 documents. There's a transcript that goes for 2.5 weeks in federal court, all of which there is no way that any lawyer could be prepared on between now and the end of the year if they're going to do their client a service so that the state can have justice. Justice at what cost? I'm not really sure. I know that there are victims in other cases that are awaiting their date. I was in court yesterday on a 2016 case and had to answer to Judge Coble as to why the case was so old. Well, this is the reason why cases get old. Prosecutors get to decide when they call it. They get to decide when they get their foot, when they get their foot on the gas and stay there and demand that a case that was indicted in April of 22 now must go to trial before the end of the year, pushing aside every other case that is much older for an individual that has already been convicted and sentenced and got his designation in federal court. There is absolutely no reason, Your Honor, we would assert, for this case to move forward, and if so, it would require for a December date that I not be present during JMSC for the entire month where we're screening, I believe, almost 100 candidates for judicial seats. There's no way to do that and prepare for this. My schedule, Mr. Moore's schedule, the attorneys that have worked for us, getting together with Mr. Lafitte, it would require what the state already has the ability to do, which is put everything to the side and work on what they want to. We don't have that ability. When they waive that and give that up, I will give up my immunity. They will not, I will not. And that is why I believe that a trial date placing us in the fall is reasonable,
fall of 24 is reasonable given the factual circumstances in this case.
And Your Honor, if I could just add one other comment. It's, if Mr. Levitt's federal appeal is unsuccessful and his conviction and sentence is upheld, then he may have decisions to make about these cases that might not require a trial. And so I tell Your Honor that because I don't think anyone wants to go through a trial and put the taxpayers to that expense unnecessarily. And I tell Your Honor that because I think I'll like it.
Okay. All right, Mr. Waters.
Your Honor, as to Mr. Rutherford's comments, he knows full well, of course, that when he's talking about cases in a particular circuit of the solicitor's office, that I have no control over that. What I do have involvement in and control over is the state grand jury charges. And obviously, Your Honor has been assigned by the Chief Justice of the South Carolina Supreme Court to preside over these matters. And so that's what we're here to deal with today, not what's going on in a different circuit in some other case. Mr. Rutherford, I'd like to get involved in this matter. I'm not insensitive to scheduling issues, but the state is here to say that if Your Honor sets a trial date, we will be ready and willing to try that case. And again, the state grand jury, it's its own docket. It's its own method of going forward. And what the state grand jury focuses on are cases like this that are can be complex white-collar cases. And cases that have a lot of underlying importance to the system itself. And again, my charge and the charge that was given to me by the Attorney General is to prosecute state grand jury cases, and that's what we're here to do. That's completely separate from the dockets that, that Mr. Rutherford may be dealing with in a different circuit elsewhere in the county and state system. So we believe that we're here, and again, he's saying that I'm calling the cases. We're here to say, Your Honor, give us a date, and we will try one of these cases. We can do the two Hampton cases together. They are similarly, they were both part of the same action. The Allendale case is a different case. That would need to be somewhere else. So if there was a case to do, it would probably be Hampton. We could do the two indictments there. But we are willing to try a case if Your Honor finds a date that works.
And Your Honor, what I would say back to that briefly is if he wants to consolidate the Hampton cases, he didn't indict them together. I guess he'd have to make a motion to consolidate them, and then we'd have to respond. And I'm not in a position to say, Your Honor, exactly what my position would be today. But I'll do whatever Your Honor tells me to do.
Okay. Anything further?
No, I'm going to say, Your Honor. I, at this point, I think we're done, Your Honor. But happy to answer any questions.
When do you expect to know whether whether Mr. Lafitte will have to report to the federal institution?
Well, as I think I told Your Honor the last time we were together, which was a couple weeks ago in King Street, I expected to know today, and that's one of the reasons why we all talked about setting the status conference today. I expected to know today. Our briefing has been concluded in the Fourth Circuit for several weeks now. And the Fourth Circuit is aware of the fact that Mr. Lafitte has a report date of next Thursday, a week from today. I've talked to the United States Attorney's Office about asking Judge Gergel. Judge Gergel has deferred his report date once because of the pendency of the Fourth Circuit's decision. If we don't have a decision today, and I'm expecting that we're not, Judge, I just checked my email to see if it's seen anything, and we don't have a decision. If we don't have a decision today, I'm going to ask Judge Gergel today or tomorrow to extend his report date one more time, and the governor told me they'd tell me what their position was at the end of the day today. I had that discussion with them yesterday, not this morning, but yesterday. But as Your Honor understands, if he does get a report date, and his appeal bond is denied, and he is transferred to Coleman, that's going to make it way more difficult for us to get ready to try a case this fall. Way more difficult.
Way more difficult to try the case this fall.
Yes, sir.
No.
Yes, sir, because I won't have access to him. He asked for a Judge Gergel asked the Bureau of Prisons to designate him to Jessup. They designated him to Coleman in Florida, which is about 5 hours away.
You have the ability to request where someone serves their time?
Judge Gergel has the authority to recommend to the Bureau of Prisons, not order, but recommend to the Bureau of Prisons that a person be incarcerated in a particular location. The Bureau of Prisons does not always and regularly does not accept those recommendations. That is, I don't have that authority. The judge has that.
Did he accept your recommendation?
Judge Gergel recommended that the Bureau of Prisons incarcerate him in FCI Jessup, and the Bureau of Prisons.
In what state is that in?
Jessup is in Georgia. It's less than an hour from his home. It's sort of right over the Georgia border. And the Bureau of Prisons, the general rule is that they're going to try to place you no less than 500 miles from where you reside, and he is in Coleman.
All right, any other words of wisdom?
What do you say, Your Honor?
No, Your Honor. I got plenty, but I'll say
Well, I think we'll defer any decision about a trial date today until we can review things maybe in another month or 6 weeks or so and see where it all stands.
Thank you, Your Honor. We very much appreciate that.
All right.
Your Honor, if, I assume that if he gets a report date and we know he's going to be transferred immediately, Your Honor would expect me to notify the court.
Yes, sir. Very well.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ron.
The audio quality does get better in segment number two. I should note, I applaud you if you were able to make it through that entire thing. That's raw audio provided to us by the Culliston County Courthouse, where Alec Murdaugh is having a hearing today. It's also the same courthouse that had the clerk of courts allegedly trying to tamper with the jury. I'll say this. When you have systematic problems and problems this basic in your courthouse where basic audio cannot get out, this is not rocket science. I'm going to guess you probably have far more systemic problems that reach many different places where people are not doing their jobs adequately or properly. Hence, your clerk of court. I do question where else there are problems as well. Segment number two is coming up. Stay with us.
You're consuming the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.